I have this ritual where as often as I can, I will take Lake Hollingsworth on my way home because I just love looking out on the lake, especially at the end of a day, just kind of using that to recharge myself. And I think maybe even more, I love just noticing the people who are walking. I mean, it's really like their own community. And you see them pretty much all the time. You know, early in the morning, late in the evening, surely, but even sometimes in the afternoon, you know, people walking, jogging, skating, rollerblading. I didn't even know rollerblading was even a thing anymore until I moved here to Lakeland and saw that it was still a thing, which is great. And especially if I hit that stoplight at Hollingsworth and Cleveland Heights, you know, I'll just think about the people who are walking. You know, just think about what kind of day have they had? What has led them to be here at this time of day? What is their story? You know, what are their hopes? What are their regrets? One of the main points of this series on the road is to remind each other to not get so caught up in this race we call life, to not just, you know, race through, run through, fly through, jog through, whatever, and not notice life around us, particularly not to notice the people around us. It's so easy to do that. But to be on the road as Jesus was. Because remember, Jesus didn't run through these towns. He didn't run from place to place. He walked. He took his time. And many times he stopped so that he might engage with the very people he was called to minister with. There can be a lot that we miss. And I think one of the reasons Jesus, who we proclaim as God incarnate, did not travel supernaturally like a fiery cloud or a pillar of smoke was so that he could show us that we could do this too. Jesus traveled on foot, and so can we. He walked, and he took every step as a way to guide us and to show us, his followers, that we could do the exact same thing. So one day, Jesus is traveling, and he meets this large crowd. And this happens, you know, in the verses that we will hear in a moment. But before all of that happens, Jesus has already begun his ministry. He has already started walking through Galilee. He has called his first disciples. He's been preaching the good news, and more people are hearing him, either directly or they hear stories about him, and they start bringing people to Jesus. They start bringing the sick. They start bringing those who are in need. And Jesus, along with his disciples, are healing people as they are going. And of course, this just increases his fame so that more and more people start to follow him. So not only does he meet this crowd on the road in the chapter of Matthew that we come to today, but he's also been bringing a crowd with him. So in chapter 5, Matthew states that Jesus saw the crowds. Jesus saw the crowds of people who have been traveling with him, and now maybe Jesus even sees this brand new crowd who has been expecting his travel. So Jesus stops. He stops and he climbs a nearby mountain so that they can all hear him. Maybe as he's doing this, the crowd start to get excited, knowing that this guy they've heard about is going to give some great declaration, some great proclamation that's going to be really sacred and, you know, sageful and spiritual to give them the declaration that they've been looking for. Maybe he will give some kind of divine proclamation that will solve all of their problems. Maybe even Jesus will tell them how they can go into battle so that he can finally defeat all their enemies. Maybe Jesus even takes a moment to look at this crowd, all of these people looking at him, seeing the hope and expectation, maybe even this desperation on their face. Maybe even he even thinks about the crowd that will meet him on that day when he gives his life for the world. Blessed are the poor in spirit, he says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We always put ourselves in our own story. That's just natural. That's just the way we are. But what if Jesus is trying to help us to see the story of others? Because Jesus doesn't say, blessed are you, at least not these verses we just heard. The first eight blessings, Jesus says, blessed are those. Blessed are others. Then Jesus addresses the crowd directly. Blessed are you, he says. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Blessed are you, he says, when you defend others in my name. Jesus' presence as a human on the road is a statement of these earthly powers, to these earthly powers. Jesus saying this as a person, as God incarnate. See, Jesus is not sharing this message as a spiritual being. Jesus is sharing this message as an earthly one, showing us that it is possible to change minds, to change hearts, especially our own, through human interaction. Now, today we're going to skip a lot of what happens afterward, after the Beatitudes, but there is this special connection later on between what Jesus says here and what Jesus says many verses from now. Jesus talks about how we are all to be the salt and the light. He talks about how he is here to fulfill the law, not abolish the law. And in order for us to understand how he is fulfilling that law, we need to truly understand what the law actually is, which is why he goes into all of these, you have heard it said, but now I say to you, statements. Then Jesus says, you have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. To those who persecute you because you defend others, love them. Pray for them. Treat them as humans as well. Jesus wasn't making statements or actions through how we function and how we perceive our world. No, Jesus was showing us a new world and a new way. Doing so on the road as the incarnation of God. So Jesus is not just saying this, he's also living this. He is walking this and invites us to walk alongside him. If we believe Jesus to be God incarnate, then it is God who is saying, notice the poor, notice the weak, notice those who can barely speak. Defend them. Love them. Do all of this in my name. And as well, those who may obstruct you, those who may revile you, those who may ridicule you, those who may try to stop you, love them as well. Pray for them. Walk on the road with them because they are just as worthy of my love. That's a hard road to walk. But that's the one Jesus travels. And I don't think it was fueled by Jesus only wanting to make people upset or to get into socio-political arguments. He wanted people to know what the kingdom of God looks like. The kingdom of God is where everyone is loved and treated as such. You may have seen the verdict last week of Amber Geiger, the Dallas police officer who was found guilty of the murder of Botham Jean. After Officer Geiger said she entered what she thought was her apartment, saw Jean, and shot him, thinking that he was an intruder. Lots of people, including Botham's family, said that the sentence was not enough. Many in the Dallas community have continued to protest that what has happened has not done enough to address the allegations of corruption in that community, which go deeper than just this one case. But yet, in the midst of this, some of us may have seen what happened last week after sentencing. Brant Jean, the victim's younger brother, has been described as an introvert, not really saying a whole lot, certainly in public, throughout this whole case, this whole horrible experience. And yet after Geiger's sentence, Brandt was on the stand to share some words. And he says to Officer Geiger, if you are truly sorry, if you are truly sorry, I can only speak for myself. I forgive you. Many reporters remark that this courtroom was just stunned by what happened. The community was stunned. The family was stunned. Nobody expected that this young man, this brother of a slain victim, would offer forgiveness in such a way. Now, we have to understand there is a lot going on right here. There's a lot of layers. There are a lot of levels. And there has been a lot of weigh-in from many sides as to how this story has been portrayed the last several days. Was this forgiveness justified? Would this have happened if the officer was male and not female? Or if the racial roles were reversed? Does this just help us white people feel better? Clumping this moment with hundreds of years of great harm. Why can this kind of forgiveness not be extended, this kind of grace, why can't it be given to others who have done far less? Are people misrepresenting what the difference is between personal forgiveness and systemic forgiveness? Now, we obviously don't have time to unpack all of this today, but these are questions that are worth talking about. It seems like whether people agree with how or why this happened or what it really accomplished, many are still simply stunned to see that it happened at all. But that's the kingdom of God. It is possible for the kingdom of God to be real, to be present here and now. It does not cover up the atrocities or the injustices which have happened. It does not ignore them. And forgiveness is not something that God calls us to give automatically. That's not why Jesus taught forgiveness. But Jesus shows us that forgiveness is possible, healing is possible, justice is possible, because love is possible. And we don't need to only look at this story to discover that. We have many stories right here in our church. If you're not a part of a G3 group, what it is that we are doing, gathering in small groups during this series, if you are a part of the G3 group, then if you've looked at the video this week, you will see that Pastor Melissa shares a very personal story about forgiveness. It is incredibly life-changing because it does show you that the kingdom of God is possible here and now on this earth. In fact, I would say it is probably the most important part of the entire video series. If you are not a part of a G3 group, if you don't watch any other video footage of this series, I invite you to find a way to watch this story that Melissa gives, because it will change your life, and it will show you that the kingdom of God is possible through forgiveness. Theologian Miroslav Volf writes in his book, Exclusion and Embrace, if you want justice and nothing but justice, you will inevitably get injustice. But if you want justice without injustice, you must want love. This is the road Jesus is on, the one he invites us to walk with him, a road which will take us along the road of others, others whom we may in the past have labeled as enemy. But Jesus calls us to walk a new road, one which will take us alongside those that we have been trying so hard to avoid, and reveal to us that both roads are the ones Jesus has been walking all along. And in those times when we find ourselves the ones who are poor, the ones who are weak, the ones who are voiceless, with no words which give us hope, if we don't have the words ourselves, we can remember the words of Christ, that they may become our words, words which we can build a life upon, so that they are not just Jesus' words, they are now ours as well.
Blessed are the weak. Blessed are the ones who can bear to speak. Blessed in your hands. Blessed in your pain. Blessed when your teardrops falling down like rain.
Let us pray together. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit on those gathered here and on these gifts. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Make us one with you, O God. And as we walk that road, make us one with each other, as your words become ours, and we become those in ministry to all the world. Gracious God, as you come forth in this table, in these elements, may we be transformed in word as well as in life. And on that day in which you come back, and we are all invited to partake in that glorious meal on that beautiful table, that we will do so knowing that the road has led back to you and it has brought us home. Gracious God, may your Holy Spirit be with us now, in this holy time and in this holy church, for all honor and glory is yours now and forever. Amen. When we are desperate for the words but cannot find them, let us look to the words of Christ, the words which say, blessed are they and blessed are you. We are blessed together. It has been proven here at this table that we have experience that is wide open for all of us, and we experience it all throughout the world. All of us have been invited to go down this road where we are blessed and we bless others. That is the kingdom of God Jesus paints for us. It says it can be real here and now. And the way that he shows us it can be real is through him. Not through a supernatural spiritual power that none of us can attain, but saying as humans, as people, as God's people, the kingdom of God can be here and it can be now through blessing, through love, and through forgiveness. It is not an easy road, but it is one that Christ calls us to walk together. So let us go on to that road, knowing that it will lead us to Christ, it will lead us home, and it will remind us what it means to be blessed. And may we be a blessing to others. Amen.